With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hi, I'm Russell Hargreaves, and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 1st of February 2016. On this week's show, Laurent Koscielny is here to talk about his season and the European Championships. Lady star Alex Scott gives us an update on their pre-season, and Perry Groves previews the Gunners' clash against another of his former teams, Southampton. But first, let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal got back to the business of defending the FA Cup when Championship highflyers Burnley visited the Emirates on Saturday, and the Gunners went ahead inside 20 minutes through a Callum Chambers wonder strike.
Alexis Sanchez, Iwobi, edge of the box, still Alex Iwobi, back towards Alexis. Can Alexis dig out the shot? Plays it to the right-hand side, and the shot into the corner from Callum Chambers is terrific. What a hit. Fantastic goal. That's some cultured play from your fullback, and it's Arsenal that lead by a goal to nil.
Callum must enjoy playing against a team from Turf Moor. His only other goal for the club came against the same opposition last season. But Arsenal did not have it all their own way. Sam Vokes rising highest to head home an equaliser. That was just 10 minutes later.
Fired in once again. Cleared this time only as far as the central midfielder Ulverstad. And now Darikwa will get the cross into the far post. The header into the bottom corner. And it's Vokes who scored for Burnley. It is 1-1 here. Sam Vokes rising highest inside the penalty area, and the downward header beats David Ospina. It is Arsenal 1, Burnley 1.
The goal sent Burnley into half-time on level terms, but that didn't last long into the second half when Alexis scored his first goal of 2016, 8 minutes into the second period.
Arsenal have got players back and Gibbs does well, and now it's with Alexis, and the Gunners come racing forward on the counter. This is Olivier Giroud, stabs back to Iwobi. Iwobi has got Oxlade-Chamberlain, edge of the penalty area, looks to get the cross back in. Real opportunity, brilliantly taken by Alexis Sanchez into the top corner. Terrific free-flowing football from the Gunners, and the Chilean back on the starting 11 and back on the score sheet here.
So 2-1 it would finish, sending Arsenal into the fifth round where they'll face Hull City. Callum Chambers' goal was the talk of the Emirates after the game. Here's Mikel Arteta, Alex Iwobi and Arsene Wenger with their thoughts on that strike.
No, he's got some really good skills, Callum, to be fair. To be a defender, a centre-back or right-back, whatever he is, he's got a lot of skills and he can do stuff like that, to be fair. But obviously to do it in an important game like today, it's a different story, but what a moment that was in the game.
Oh my gosh, he's still talking about it now in the showers. Everyone's just talking about it. He's like, yeah, Canaldo is what they call him now. It's just funny.
You'd be doing the same though, presumably.
Of course, if I scored a goal like that, I'd be all over the place. I'd just be excited.
It's a good finish at Chambers. He shows that many times in training. And overall, I'm very pleased for him, you know. And I think his quality is versatile, can play in different positions. He's shown that again today.
The boss also spoke positively about Mohamed Elneny's debut.
I felt he started a bit cautious, played a bit secure, became more adventurous, had some good shots on goal. His mobility, his work rate was, I think, exceptional. And for the rest, he needs to adjust to the power of a game in the Premier League. You know, this was a good welcome today. And certainly, he has learned a lot today. It will take him some time, certainly, to adjust to the power side of our game here. But the intelligence, the mobility, and the technical level are good.
So that's the Gunners safely into the fifth round, but it's a return to the Premier League on Tuesday evening as they take on Southampton. We'll talk to Perry Groves about that next. Perry Groves played 203 times for the Arsenal before moving to Southampton in 1992. So who better to look ahead to the two teams going head-to-head in the Premier League on Tuesday night? Perry, good to have you on the Arsenal Weekly podcast, mate. How's life?
It's very good. Thank you much for having me on. I think it's a bit of a loose terminology saying that I was an ex-Southampton player because I was a complete waste of money for Southampton, to be fair. They bought me for $750,000. I got injured after 15 games, scored 2 goals. So $375,000 a goal.
I'd say cheaper at the price for you, mate, but, you know, that's just me. So not really any divided loyalties, I guess, then, for you, really?
None at all, absolutely. Southampton fans, they sort of think I'm a bit harsh, but I don't have any emotional attachment to Southampton because I didn't play enough games and, you know, I wasn't there long enough. My two teams are Colchester and obviously my big team is the Gooners because obviously Dad's uncle Vic played and was captain in the mid-50s. So my loyalty is always to the Gooners, always.
Our weekly tactical analyst who'll be coming on the show later is Adrian Clark, and Little Bird tells me that he was your boot boy.
Yeah, he was a very good one, actually, to be fair to Clark. He made sure that all the training boots and all the match boots were done. And he sung very well at Christmas because you used to make your apprentices sing for their Christmas bonus and put them on this big pedestal thing. And if they sung well or they did a poem or a ditty, then you give them £100. If they didn't, then they got covered in all the dirty boot water. So Clarkie sung really well. Andy Cole was my other boot boy. He was useless, so he got covered in the dirty water.
So Andy Cole was the useless boot boy but went on to, some would say, have the slightly better career.
He did well, Coley, to be fair. Obviously, went to Bristol City, made his name there, and into Newcastle and Manchester United. But as a boot boy, he left a lot to be desired.
AD Clark wins that one. We shall bring that up with Clarky later in the podcast. Don't you worry, Perry. Right, on to the big one. And I remember Boxing Day night and what was the real horror show for Arsenal against Southampton at St Mary's. And revenge will be, I'm sure, high on the agenda.
Very much so. I think that was one of the few games you could say from us over probably since the West Ham game beginning of the season where the lads, you could just tell after the first 5-6 minutes they weren't switched on mentally, and Southampton obviously had gone at that time were going for a little bit of a bad patch, but when any team plays against Southampton against Arsenal you always raise your game, and they did. And I just think that our players' attitude and the mental approach to it would be a lot different on Tuesday night.
So just 2 points from the last available 9, but admittedly that includes Chelsea and then hard-fought draws obviously with Stoke and Liverpool. Is it a must-win when you look at the title race? Are we getting toward that point yet?
Yeah, they're all must-win games now. I actually think that the last 3 games, if you looked at them individually, it was a good battling point at Stoke. You know, that's not an easy place to go. We should have really won at Anfield, being 3-2 up, you know, with 10 minutes to go. But coming back twice from a goal down, which showed resilience. And I actually thought that the Chelsea game, after Mertesacker got sent off, I thought actually, even with 10 men in the second half, we were the better side. So the performance against Chelsea is actually okay. It was a very good performance at the weekend against Burnley. We've got, obviously, with Sanchez coming back, Coquelin coming back, giving that bit of energy, knowing in the middle of the park. And I thought Elneny on Saturday looked quite comfortable. But you're right, it is a must-win game now. And it doesn't matter about the performance, but the big thing now is just the result.
Yeah, Perry, you've picked up on a crucial point for me. Coquelin back for that game at the weekend. Alexis back and looking sharp. And hopefully, obviously, Ozil will be back for this one as well. And these returning key players to the spine of the team could make all the difference, couldn't they?
Very much so. I think when you look at with Sanchez, he brings like an energy and a spark to the side, you know, and his enthusiasm just rubs off on everybody else and it gives the crowd a lift. He gives it a little bit of extra quality and he doesn't look like he's been out from players. And apparently I was talking to Nigel Winterburn. He's one of those ones who hates being taken off even if he's injured. He hates not playing. So he's got a brilliant attitude. And Coquelin gives us that little bit more athleticism in the centre of park, where he can get to the opposition players and close them down very quickly. And if you look at Southampton, they've got excellent forward players, Tadic and Mane, but they're the sort of players that you'd think Coquelin would be the ones just going to engage them and put in one of his great sliding tackles, which I like, which is a feature of his game.
It certainly is, isn't it? And you mentioned those kind of pacey forwards that Southampton have got, but then you've got Shane Long, who was brilliant against Arsenal a few weeks ago, and obviously Charlie Austin's there now, and debut goal, first touch pretty much against Man United. What a signing.
There's much, Charlie Austin, I can understand why there weren't more Premier League clubs interested in Charlie, Crystal Palace and Newcastle needing centre-forwards, and for £4 million, it's not even a gamble. You know, if it doesn't work, then, you know, so what? £4 million is nothing these days, and he will score goals. Shane Long, who I'm quite a big fan of, because he's one of those players that is perpetual motion. He's 100%. He closes fullbacks down. He puts centre-halves under pressure. He looks to get in behind. And the other thing for someone, I think he's probably only about 5'10", he's very, very good in the air. He's got a very athletic leap. So he's one of those centre-forwards that is a handful the whole 90 minutes. And Southampton, a good little bit of form at the minute. They haven't conceded for three games, you know. So you could say that, you know, it's not the right time to play him. But we've been fairly impressive at the Emirates. And if we start at a very high tempo and a high pace, like we did against Manchester United when we blitzed them in the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes, then we should be OK.
And Southampton, as you just touched on, have refound their form in recent weeks after a real blip just before, haven't they, when Ronald Koeman was looking a bit disaffected with life. But he's back singing and looking very confident. Forster's back in goal. That, for me, has been a difference as well.
Yeah, it gives the back four just a little bit of solidity, you know, and it gives them a bit of assurance. And the two centre-halves, Van Dijk has done OK since he's come from Celtic. Fonte is very aggressive and attacks the ball. And their record at Arsenal isn't particularly good. I think they've only won one in the last 21 away at Arsenal, but one of those was under Ronald Koeman in the Capital One Cup. So, and I think they've settled down a bit. Ronald Koeman had his sort of problems with Victor Wanyama, you know, and Mane on the disciplinary side, and he's told him, no, on certain terms, you're not going to mess about with me. If your attitude isn't right, then you ain't going to play, and you'll sit in the stand. Now, that's all very well, but these days the players are so powerful, you're not going to have your two best players sat in the stand on £60,000 a week. But he's reasserted his authority, and I think he's done a fantastic job at Southampton, because they have to, you know, sell their best players, much like we had to, you know, in the last sort of 6 or 7 years. It's very difficult, you know, to get consistency when you know your best players being sold season after season. But I think he's done an excellent job taking over from Pochettino.
So, Perry, as we let you go, rude not to please get a prediction as to who's going to emerge victorious.
Well, you know, I was going to say I let my heart rule my head, but it's my heart and my head. Okay. I fancy a very, very good game of football, because they like to try and play. I could see us coming out probably 3-1 victors.
I think most of our listeners would take that and move on and get ready for Bournemouth. Perry, great to have you back on the Arsenal Weekly podcast, mate, and cracking insight. And we shall put a bit of that to Mr. Clark a little bit later on.
Yes, you'll notice that his shoes will be very, very shiny. He was very good at making my boots nice and shiny.
Laurent Koscielny has developed into one of the Premier League's top defenders over his 5.5 years with the club. The French international scored a number of key goals time and time again and has proven to be one of Arsene Wenger's best signings for the club. He spoke with the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer Liam Roberts about a number of topics, starting with his centre-half partnership with Per Mertesacker.
I think we have a good relationship on the pitch and off the pitch. It's a nice man, a good friend. So yeah, when you have a good relation between us out of the pitch, and they can help us in the pitch, and I think we talk a lot. We learn a lot now for a few years, and I know his quality, and he knows mine, and I know what he can do on the pitch and what he can't. And it's important for center back because we know it's more you know a couple you know to play together and it's very important each player and center back speak a lot the communication is very important and just for the position on the pitch and it can be better like this.
So you said that you're friends off pitch as well. Do you kind of hang out outside of the game?
Yeah. My wife, his wife, you know, we can talk together. We went sometimes with restaurant with Per and some other players. So we have a good relationship together. Outside the pitch, you know, because he's a simple man like me, you know, he likes to live here, and you know, it's simple to have a conversation with him during a meeting, you know, dinner or something like this.
You were given the captain's armband a couple of times this season.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you? Is that, can you explain how your feelings when that happened?
It's good, you know, because I think your teammates and the staff and the boss respect you a lot, and that's why you have the captain handband. So. It's very important to be an example for the teammates, and I was very happy with this. But the most important, you know, it's every player on the pitch has something to for helping the team for winning, and we are all captain. If some player needs to talk. To our teammates to help him to be better or to do something on the pitch because his position is not good. We can do.
I just want to look forward to the Euros this summer. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to be playing in your home country. Yeah. What will that feel like representing your country in a home tournament?
Oh, it's very exciting. We have a little. Pressure because it's at home and it's very different, you know, when you play a big tournament like this with your country in your country. And you know, the last time when the France play at home, we won the World Cup. Yeah. And we won the Euro in 84. So we want to do a good tournament. We want to go to the final, but we know we will have some different team against us, but we need to win. We need to win the group stage and to finish first, and after we don't know the draw, but we need to have some ambition because we play at home, and other country will be behind us for the support.
So Laurent will be heading to the European Championships in his home country this summer, and you wouldn't bet against him popping up in the box with an important goal at some point during that tournament. So that's a current Arsenal international, but now it's time to talk about a retired one in this week's history lesson.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it's Adams put through by Bold. Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him.
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 2nd of February 1978, Arsenal and England ladies legend Faye White was born in Crawley. Faye joined Arsenal in 1996 and spent 17 seasons with the Gunners, winning an incredible 31 trophies with the club. Here she is speaking about her decorated career.
I moved, I was about 17, I think, 17, nearly 18, when I kind of come and had a look round at Highbury, and Vic met up with him. I actually met up with him. We always said about it. Met up at a McDonald's near where I lived to actually talk first initially, and then he invited me up to Highbury. And I was walking in pucks underneath like you do, and then you go up to a room and he opened the door and there was Highbury. It was a box at Highbury.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, I was like, wow, I'm signing, because obviously I knew that Arsenal was the biggest women's club then, even more so than it is now.
As one of the most recognisable and respected players in the game, Faye also played 90 times for England, scoring 12 goals in the process. Since retiring in 2013, Faye's moved into the business side of the game and is responsible for the marketing of the ladies' team.
I think the biggest thing for the game to grow is obviously that coverage. My whole career as captain was banging on about needing more coverage and needing more people to come out and support the teams, and that's slowly growing. But I think we just need to the day when we can say even 5,000 is a regular crowd, something like that would be, I think the kind of fan base of women's football would be very different to the men. I can't see hundreds of thousands of men following women's football. I just can't see it. I think it's more going to be families and groups like that come into our games. But I think when we can say there's 5,000 regular and the game's sustainable, but we need it to stay within sustainable means, really.
We'll have another history lesson next week, but next we'll hear from the ladies' team's newest signing, and that's Farah Williams. At the start of January, Arsenal ladies announced the signing of England's most capped player, Farah Williams. She spoke to Arsenal media about joining the Gunners.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, a strange few months for me since, Arsenal and Pedro showed interest in me. It's been one that has excited me, but also I've got to think of my family and what I do away from football. And that's been the most difficult thing. I think the ambition of the club, the state that the club's in, it is fantastic, and where women's football needs to be. So that decision wasn't difficult. It was just if I could get everything right off the pitch, and the club have done everything, to make me feel comfortable. And yeah, and I'm excited now to get started. Arsenal are a team that, a style of football they play is one that's always excited me. Even before the WSL come into place, they've been a leading team in the women's game for a very long time. So now to finally, be a part of that, this could have happened for me 10 years ago. And, through many different decisions, I decided to go different ways. And I think this was meant to be. I think, as I say, I had an opportunity so long ago to come to this, this club and went other ways, and it's brought me back. So definitely, I think it was supposed to be. I've known Alex Scott a very long time, probably since, under 14. So, and obviously I told you I'm old, so that's been long. So yeah, she's certainly one that will help me settle. I've known Casey as well the same amount of time. So they're definitely two players that I know I'll be able to, easily settle with in and around the area. I mean, they showed how close they've been this year with the league. I think, they were unlucky not to finish in the top two. I think, dropped some city points through the season. I think that could have, that probably let them down in that area. But they won the County Cup, so they've showed what they're capable of doing. It wasn't an easy game for them in the County Cup, but they certainly made it look easy. So it's a style of play that that I would really enjoy. I think I could fit in it nicely. So yeah, they certainly play a nice style of play. I think in the women's game, probably one of the only teams that have a definite style of play. So yeah, I look forward to trying to find and fit myself within that.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Our Arsenal insider this week will be a teammate of Farah Williams for the upcoming season. It's ladies vice-captain Alex Scott. Alex, great to have you on the line. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you on board. I know you're at the airport, effectively off for the pre-season games in Germany. We'll come on to all of that in just a moment. But we've just been hearing about, obviously, Farah Williams coming in and how exciting to have England's most capped player on board for the season.
Farah is an amazing player. We all saw her quality in the World Cup. I've been fortunate enough to play with her for all the younger age groups at England level. So to finally have her on board and as a teammate is just great. And I think she really strengthened our team for the season.
And it'll be a combination, won't it, of what she'll be able to do on the field, but also watching in part, I'm sure, in the dressing room too.
Just her experience, what she's already gone through, what she's played, you know, what she's overcome as well. And she'll be passing that on to the likes of, you know, the other midfielders like Jordan and hopefully help her grow into her game as well.
And just while we're on legendary players past and present, our history lesson on the Arsenal Weekly podcast a couple of minutes ago was featuring Faye White, born this Tuesday in 1978.
Happy birthday to Faye.
What an absolutely incredible, incredible player.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was fortunate as well, coming through the younger age groups at Arsenal. Faye was the captain, and then obviously worked my way into the first team. Same with England. She's just your out-and-out leader. And what she done in an Arsenal shirt and an England shirt was just amazing. And she continues to be around the club because she's such an iconic figure. But no, a true legend for Arsenal ladies.
17 seasons, 31 trophies. It's not the worst return, is it?
No, definitely not. I think she'll hold a record. I'm not sure what the other girls ever burn. Most would be close to her. I think I'll be a bit behind them. But no, that just sums her up, you know, all the commitment she done for Arsenal ladies. And she continues to do it as well off the field now.
Let's move on then, if we can, Alex, to the current crop. And we've talked, obviously, about Farah coming in, but the squad really coming together, some new faces and hopefully some new energy to continue to evolve.
Oh, definitely. I think every season, you know, you don't want to stand still. You want to be pushing forward. Even though we won the Continental Cup final last year, we want the league and we want the FA Cup. So it's about not resting on your morals. And Pedro's done that. He's definitely strengthened with Farah, the addition of Van Dijk and... we've got the Irish girl, Katie McCann, as well, who's going to be strengthening in this team. So, like you said, it's just a big, good buzz about us at the moment in pre-season. And then hopefully this tour will bring us all together, let us gel and be ready for the season ahead.
Not always easy, is it, when you are having a turnover of players and kind of rebuilding a little bit, but it seems to have been managed in a very effective way.
Definitely. And if you're bringing in, like I said, already established, experienced players, then it doesn't take long to gel because if you know football, then it's easy. You get out on the training field every day and you do what you're good at. So I don't think that is going to be a problem and we won't use that as an excuse. We want to go into this season making sure we've got that winning mentality and pick up trophies.
And obviously the bond within the squad is very strong. And I'm sure when you have a few days across in Germany, serious football, but a chance to get to know the new teammates and to build all of that camaraderie.
Yeah, ultimately we want to go out there, we want to win, but we're looking at a bigger picture as well. Like you said, it's about making sure we all gel cohesively off the field as well as on the field and work on things in pre-season. So individually you need to be working on things and as a group. But the main thing will be, you know, when we come back in a week's time, make sure we're all in a better place.
Now, as we mentioned, you're pretty much at the airport and ready to board a plane. So you're off to Germany. Bayern Munich is the game second up, isn't it? But you've got another one first. Did you say Wolfsburg?
Spain. And we're playing the first game, we play Wolfsburg, and then we play Bayern Munich.
Wow.
But yeah, it's in Spain.
And just tell us a bit about the challenge that they will pose in terms of the quality and what hopefully it will help prepare you guys for when the new season starts here.
Yeah, and this is the quality you want in pre-season, you know, that's really going to test you. And both teams, you know, got strong international players. Wolfsburg have won the Champions League numerous times, so that's the challenge we face, but that's where we want to be because we want to make sure Arsenal ladies is back fighting in the Champions League.
And obviously slightly different styles, I presume, of play as well, just like we see in the men's game as well, and the contrast between the Premier League and the Champions League. Would it be a similar challenge for you guys?
Oh, most definitely. You've got the physical element that the Germans bring, but also technically they're very good. So two very different games. I think Wolfsburg will be the more physical challenge and be down to our fitness, where Bayern Munich have got the skillful technicians in their team. So it's going to be great two pre-season friendly games. But like I also said, it's about how we gel together in this week.
And then you go through all of that. And then before we know it, of course, the domestic season will be starting on, I think, the 23rd of March.
Yes, it is. That would be our first game against Reading at home at Bolingwood. And no, we're just all looking forward to it. We have a long off-season, really, through the winter, so we all can't wait to, you know, for the season to start. And I think it's going to be the best one yet. Every year the league's getting better, the teams are improving, the investment in the teams now. So I think it's going to be really competitive, but we hope that we're sitting at the top.
And just taking a sneaky look at your fixture list, I see you've got both Manchester City and Chelsea pretty soon into the season as well.
Yeah, but they're the fixtures you look at and you want to be playing in. There's nothing to be scared about. You know, when you play for Arsenal, ladies, you know, Arsenal Football Club, you know, you expect them kind of challenging, you expect to rise to them as a player. So they're the games we kind of relish as a group.
And fan-wise, obviously, I know there's a massive and growing support for the league, for the women's game in this country as well. And that's something with the fan base that you'll be desperate and I'm sure will continue to grow.
Yeah, we're lucky. We've always had a great fan base for our ladies at Bournemouth. Our fans come out, but, you know, obviously off the back of the World Cup and all that interest now in women's football, the attendance levels have grown. But we just need that to keep improving, and that comes down to the product we're putting out on the pitch. So hopefully they can come along and see some great quality football and us winning football matches.
And just finally, obviously, you do other things as well. It's a very, very busy life, isn't it? You've got a media degree, I think a new hosting job as well.
Yeah, I do. I've been doing stuff with Soccer AM since I got back from the World Cup, and now I'm on presenting on London Live every Friday with Jimmy Bullard. So, yeah, that's definitely the direction that I'm going in for when I finish, but there's no way I'm finished with Arsenal Ladies just yet.
Well, give it a few years and come and join me. We'll double-head this for a bit.
Yeah, I will do.
Sounds good. Well, Alex, listen, thank you so much for your time, and safe flight out there for the pre-season games, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again in a few months as the season progresses.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Adrian Clarke will be in the matchday show hot seat for Arsenal's trip to Bournemouth this coming Sunday. And Adrian joins me now. Clarkey, twice in a couple of days after we were on Arsenal.com comms duty, making my debut with you the other day.
Yeah, people will start to talk, won't they?
It's good to have a man of your calibre alongside me. So
no problem.
Good work, my friend. And you were just telling me off air as well. We've been hearing from Perry Groves, of course, on the show, looking ahead to the Southampton game. Mm. I believe you were his boot boy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, going back a long, long time. Back all the way back to 1991, almost in the black and white days. But yeah, no, he was good. He was a great lad to clean boots for. He was one of the kinder ones. Sometimes they could be a bit fussy, the footballers, but Perry was always all right. And yeah, always got on very well with him.
And he was the first ever footballer you met?
Yes, a presentation evening for my kids' team when I was sort of 8 or 9 years of age. He was the celebrity guest. And at that time, he hadn't even joined Arsenal. He was playing for Colchester United, which was relatively close to where I was brought up. So, yeah, me and Perry go back a long way.
Incredible. Loving the insight, Clarkey. Now, you're going to look ahead to the Bournemouth game for us. Of course, two more big games this week for Arsenal. They really have started to show signs of life again in recent weeks after a bit of a blip.
They have, yeah. I think they've had a terrific debut season in the Premier League, Bournemouth. They've really impressed me. I rate the manager so highly, Eddie Howe. Very astute and gets his players going every single week. What you won't see from Bournemouth is a really flat performance. Sometimes they might not be good enough to win the match, but he always seems to get a tune out of them, and they're so, so sharp as a side. So you've got to match that and then hope that your quality will come through. But yeah, they've done really well.
Now, the one time I covered them live this season was the home game against Newcastle, where they absolutely obliterated all the statistics and somehow managed to lose 1-0 to Newcastle's only shot. That, though, I think has changed a bit, given the likes of Benik Afobe coming in as a bit more of a clinical option up front.
Yes, definitely. As soon as they lost Callum Wilson, it was a major problem, because he was the quickie, the one that really stretched the pitch, and it just wasn't the same without a fast striker in his place. Josh King came in and did OK, but Benik Afobe has He's got the full package, really, in terms of power, pace and the ability to score goals. He's got that confidence, having scored so many goals for Wolves in the Championship last season and for Milton Keynes previously. So yeah, he's a real asset. And look, Benik Afobe got a point to prove, hasn't he, in this game. He will probably feel quite aggrieved that he never got a chance here, always loaned out, but never appeared for the Arsenal first team. And yeah, the story is there, isn't it? You just hope, from an Arsenal perspective, he doesn't come back to hurt us.
It will be interesting to see. So, organisation, a phobia, work rate, are they some of Bournemouth's strengths, would you say?
Definitely, yes. I think all of the above, they tick. They've got good energy. I like them in the wide areas. I think Matt Ritchie is a terrific player, the Scottish international. And the fullbacks, they fly forward, and they will do. Even though they're playing against Arsenal on home turf, I think they'd be quite adventurous. You've got Charlie Daniels on the left-hand side, adds real balance. And I think at the moment it's Adam Smith on the right, who's got forward and scored a few goals. So look, they are an exciting team to watch. I think, in many ways, they play a little bit like Arsenal. They obviously haven't got the resources we have, or maybe the talent, but they certainly are of the same ilk.
And it's a great atmosphere because it's quite a compact stadium. It's a relatively new build, as I know you know, but they really get on you, the crowd, as I witnessed as well.
Yeah, I've played there and it's a tight ground. When I played there, there's probably 5,000 or 6,000, but this time it'll be a complete full house, like a cup tie. Every game is really for the Cherries fans this season. They are loving life, and rightly so. Look, if Arsenal aren't mentally right for this game, they could come a cropper. Manchester United did. You've got to be on your toes because Bournemouth on home turf are a tough proposition.
They are, though, in lower mid-table for a reason. There are flaws, aren't there? So where could Arsenal hurt them?
I think Arsenal can hurt them in the centre-back department. I think they've chopped and changed personnel over the course of the season. And whoever has played in that position, they've struggled at times. They lack a touch of mobility. So if we can get runners in support of Olivier Giroud, then I think we can really hurt them. And if you remember the game here at Emirates Stadium, they were awful from corners. They really, really struggled badly. Arsenal could have scored 4 or 5 goals from set pieces. If they haven't improved in that regard, we can hurt them there.
Wouldn't say personally they've got the best goalkeeping options Premier League standard-wise.
No, Artur Boric is actually back in form at the moment, but he's had a difficult season. Adam Federici came in because he was dropped. He didn't really cover himself in glory. So that is an issue for them, but I do think that Artur Boric is playing better now than at any other stage this season.
So a key battleground player-wise, Adrian?
Oh, it's an interesting one. I like Junior Stanislas, actually. He was rested for the game here over Christmas, but he is a talented player on the left-hand side. And that battle with Hector Bellerin, I think, will be really important. You've got Charlie Daniels and Stanislas down that flank. Bellerin will need to be on his toes defensively, but as we all know, he will love to pile forward as well. So keep your eye on that wing. It could be quite interesting.
And as we like to conclude in a sentence, how do you beat Bournemouth?
You beat Bournemouth by matching them in terms of application. If you can do that and be on your toes and be sharp, then hopefully your quality will come through. That happened here at Emirates Stadium. Hopefully it'll happen again.
We shall wait and see. Clarkey, as ever, great work. Thank you.
Pleasure, mate.
You can join Adrian alongside Jimmy Carter for the Matchday Show live on Arsenal.com. And that's from 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Laurent Koscielny, to Perry Groves, Alex Scott, Adrian Clarke and to Farah Williams for their contributions today. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that you never miss a new show. We'll be back on Monday the 8th of February. Until then, it's bye for now and come on, you Gunners!
Thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast on iTunes or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.